Well, it's been quite a while since I've been here, almost a year. And for those of you who don't know, my name is Cedric Andrews. It's a blessing that I'm able to come back down here. My job has allowed me to take off, come in early, a little later on Tuesday. So you guys can get used to my ugly face. I'll be here twice a month at the minimum. Praise God for that. All right, we're going to get right to it here. I'm not going to prolong the time too long. There was a old West African proverb which says, "The man who tries to walk two roads will only split his pants." And this saying remains true with those who call themselves Christians and only strive for the pleasures of this life and this world. It's evident in their actions and even in their prayers. Oftentimes, they pray for things and wonder why God isn't answering them. Have you ever felt like that? I would like to suggest to you this morning that it may very well be that some of us may be trying to walk down two different roads at the exact same time. And these things we know that they ought not be. Today is the day that we must seriously meditate on this truth and ask God to reveal to us if we fit this bill. And if we do fit this bill, we got to ask him to humble us. We got to ask him to take the selfishness and pride out of our heart. We got to cry out to him for forgiveness, and he will, as his word promises, forgive us. This morning, my brothers and my sisters, we are going to take a look at some hard truths. I don't know how much we're going to get through it, but whatever we don't finish today, we'll look at the next time. These things we're going to look at, we all struggle with in the faith, as if you are in the faith. And these same things you struggle with if you're not in the faith. It's my prayer that you begin to realize why one is going through the things that he's going through. Why one is fighting against the things that he's fighting against. It's my prayer that we can see why these things are happening. I'm not here to beat nobody down. For those of you who know me, knows that when I come here, it is more a blessing to me because it is not me preaching to you. It is me ministering and preaching to myself because I'm all jacked up. I don't know if you know my story. I've been on the street. I've been to the penitentiary 5 times. Shot dope, tooted dope. Not to glorify this life, but just to give you a testimony of where God has brought me from. I come up on the west side doing my own thing like a lot of us have done their own thing. But God in his grace and in his mercy, he pulled me out of that mess. I preached a sermon here a year ago that says he can take a mess and turn it into a miracle. And that's what he did with me. So, you know, oftentimes we could fool other folk on what's really going on with us, or if we are really Christians or saved. We can fool other folks and we can even fool ourselves sometimes. But you know, God knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows exactly where our heart is and where we're at. So, if you find this yourself in this situation, it's my prayer again It's time to repent and ask God to change you. Change that. It's my prayer that God would help us and forgive us this morning. That was a brother named, not Aaron Rodgers, but Adrian Rodgers, who once said, "Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay." How many of us know that to be true? I know I can't be the only one. At this time, would you guys bow and pray with me, please? Father, we come to you on this Tuesday morning asking, Lord, that you would humble us this morning. Asking, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts for a word from you. Lord, I'm not worthy to come here and talk to these brothers and sisters this morning, as I am nothing but a sinner saved by grace. And I thank you for that. Father, I ask that you would allow your Holy Spirit to fall fresh among this place. I ask, Lord, that the words that come out of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. I ask that I would decrease and you would increase on this morning. Open up our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes and reveal to us exactly what we need on this morning. Lord, we love you and we cannot get along without you. And let every heart say, amen. Amen. Open up your Bibles to James. I love the book of James. James is Jesus' brother. They have such similar ministries and such similar wording with how they talk about things. But open up to James, and we're going to the fourth chapter. And we're going to begin reading at the first verse. And it reads, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you do not ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he, God, gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." May the Lord add a blessing for the reading of his word. Now, we're going to see if we can camp out on these seven verses for a little while. Like I said, I don't know how far we're going to get today. Maybe we'll finish, maybe not. But we're going to see what James has to say and what he's talking about here. In that very first verse there, what happens? James asks us a question. And that question is, he says, where or what causes quarrels and fights among us? Now, the beauty of this text is it's straightforward. There's nothing hidden in there. There's nothing you got to try to figure out. Because immediately he gives us the answer. He says it's our passion. Or to put it another way, it's our lust. So we look at this, and the first thing we need to know is what is passions and what is lust. Let's look at passions. Basic definition here. Any powerful or compelling emotion or feeling. You can look at love as a passion. You can look at hate as a passion. Look a little bit farther into that, and it says, it is a state of being acted upon or affected by something external, especially something alien to one's nature or one's customary behavior. Let's look at lust. We all know the one big one is to have an intense sexual desire. That's the first thing that comes to mind. But looking farther into that, it tells us that it is also a passionate or overmastering desire or craving, usually followed by for something, like a lust for power, a lust for money, sex, women, all that good stuff. Yeah. It all applies. Now, what James is telling us here, he's saying, well, what we want to see from James is, where all of this, where do it come from? Why do we have these desires and these passions so deeply embedded in us? We find ourselves fighting all of these strong and sinful desires, and when it happens, at that point we need to stop, step back, and try to realize where is it coming from or why it's happening. Paul, the Apostle Paul, put it like this. Turn your Bible over to Romans. Romans the 7th chapter, beginning at the 8th verse. Very familiar passage of scripture, but it's looked over so much, so many times. Just turn over there real quick and let's read what Paul has to say on this matter. He says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Man, that don't sound like you. Sound like me. I can tell you that for sure. Then he keep on. He says, "Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand." Now, my brother, even the Apostle Paul struggled with this self-same issue. A few verses later in there, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" I know, me personally, I'm not talking about none of y'all. I mean, I know you guys don't struggle with nothing. You know, I'm the one who struggles with stuff. And I'm going to put it like this. Every day, I struggle. And one of the things I struggle with is lust. And this lust issue that I struggle with, I'm married. And beautiful wife, great wife. But the lifestyle that I once lived, I was used to getting it in. I was used to doing me all the time. So now that I'm married, it ain't the same as it was before. And some of that sin, it clings to you. You know, and I find myself all the time having to rebuke the devil. I could be driving, and I'm in people's houses all day long, you know. Rich people too, you know, downtown, all day long. And some of these folks, some of these women, they be fine. And they be meddling. And I'm going to be honest with you. I find myself have to stop doing what I'm doing and leave the house, go down to my truck, and go and start praying. Because I know leave me in that situation too long, because just a few 24 hours ago, one too long ago, you know, I'd have went in. I would have went in. I would have got it in. And I struggle with this. It gets better. Every time I do pray and ask God to give me strength and help me, you know, it gets a little bit easier every time. But this is something that I still struggle with right now today. And then it gets to the point where sometimes you've been dealing with all this, you know, stuff like this, and then you get home to your wife and you got all this stuff you've been dealing with, you know, at work with these issues, and you really ain't telling her what's going on, and you ain't been, you know, those times where you really ain't just dealt with it, now you're taking this stuff out on your wife. And the devil uses that stuff. He uses that stuff and say, and he'll start putting stuff in your head like, I don't even know why you got married. You know you're not supposed to be married. This ain't you. You ain't this ain't your makeup. You ain't made up like this. And that's how the devil tries to attack me on that, you know, that, and that's just one area. There are many other areas that he tries to attack. So once when one gets saved or come into faith, that don't mean everything stops. You know what I mean? That don't mean you ain't going to struggle or you ain't going to have a lot of these same issues that you had before. You know what I mean? It don't mean that. What it means is now God has given you his Holy Spirit inside of you, and you have something to run to. Because later on in it, he's going to tell us that if we resist, just resist the devil, and he'll flee. Let's keep moving. We got about 15 minutes left. Now, what did I stop at? Y'all got to help me now. Y'all got to help me. We're doing this together, right? I mean, come on now. Now let's go back to James. I think we stopped at verse number 2. Let's go to verse number 2 back in James. Verse number 2 and verse number 3. He says, everybody there, get there and say amen. Amen. Y'all got to talk back to me. I'm an audible guy, you know. I'm down to earth, right? You know, y'all, we got to interact with each other, okay?
James chapter 4.
Chapter 4.
Verse 3.
2 and 3. We're going to look at 2 and 3. That's where we stopped there. We're going to start there. Now, he says, he really begins, well, let's read it again. Verse 2. Anybody want to read verse 2 and 3 for me?
Okay.
Go ahead.
You want something, but don't get it. You feel uncovered, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend
Stop.
What you get on your pleasure.
Okay. You're good. Now everybody heard that, right? Did you, were you there?
chapter 4, right?
Yeah, chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Did you get it? All right. Okay. Now, Brother Red, he said, in verse 2, James, he began to warn us and explain to us why it is that sometimes when we pray, we, Lord, I need you to do this for me. I need this. But then it seems like he don't give it to us. And we don't know why. Man, why is this when I pray, God, know I need this, why he ain't gave it to me yet? James started to tell us why that is. And he says that the reason why many of us are in the predicament that we are in, as he says in verses 2, is we desire and do not have, so we murder. So if God, we ask God for something, this is what I used to do all the time. One of my sayings was, if I didn't have it, I mean, you know the old saying, I got mine, you better get yours. And I used to rob a lot. And if I didn't have it, I wasn't gonna take it. That was what I used to do. And I used to find myself getting in situations where I'd get caught, locked up, and then I'd start praying and asking God, Lord, get me out of this. I ain't gonna do it no more. I swear I ain't. But he made me, you know, go through that thing because I didn't have no intentions, not really, to stop doing what I was doing. Not no intentions at all. You know, what it was a foxhole Christian type of deal. When trouble arise, when a situation come up, when tribulation come, I'm saved. I know the Lord got me. He's going to take care of me. Lord, help me. Help me in this situation. You know, maybe even a situation like what we have right now today, or where you are right now today. Lord, help me. Get me out of this situation. Why I can't find no job? Why I got to stay in this place? Why? I'm a good person. Why I got to go through this? It may very well be that God is trying to talk to you specifically, not about if you're a good person or not. Ultimately, that's what it is, but just because you do good things doesn't make you a good person. And good people do bad things. But it may very well be that you are right where you at because God is trying to reveal some mess in your heart that you haven't came clean with. Not came clean to me or came clean to this other brother. Because God already knows your heart. But what he's waiting on is for you to say, Lord, you know I'm jacked up. And I really don't want to get rid of this thing. Well, I know it's wrong. Could you help me to get rid of this thing? You can't. Being a Christian is hard. Being saved, that's hard work. It ain't easy. It's hard. And if we can do it any of ourselves or do it on our own, we wouldn't need God. What we need God for? If we can get what we needed to get by ourselves, we wouldn't need God. And most of us would already be there. So the question is that something in your heart that you holding on to? You know, folk, Pastor Scripture said that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And folk use that verse all the time. You know, or you got the prosperity gospel talking about name it, claim it. Or they use that Matthew 6:33 where it says, let me turn there. I don't want to misquote nothing. Y'all got to bear with me. You got me started now. Matthew 6:33 where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. And they use this verse and they use it out of context. And they use it in a way.
I want to ask you a question.
Well, go ahead.
So you said, could it be something in my heart?
Yes.
Could it be something in someone else's heart that's keeping me in a position to? Let's say, you're an employer. Mm-hmm. Let's say you don't like my skin.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
So, who, for what reveals why I'm here? It's not my heart. It's somebody else's heart. That's
the key.
So what do you do about that?
That I don't agree with, because, and I will be preaching here pretty soon, a sermon called Put Your Feelings in Your Pocket. Stay tuned, because that's coming next. But the reason why I don't agree with somebody else putting you in a situation. Nobody else has control over where we're at. Now,
why was Martin Luther King marching?
Martin Luther King was marching because there was an unjust government. With, you know, slavery and voting and all these different things.
It was their heart that was putting us in a position.
Right, but I understand. I get what you're saying, or what you're trying to say. But look at the Israelites.
See, everything is not all our fault. If I feel that everything's my fault, then that's where suicide comes.
But see, what you got to understand.
Everything is not my fault.
Everything isn't your own fault or situation. But what you have to understand is this: God is an all-knowing God. He's sovereign. If you believe God, you know. And you believe that everything that goes on is ordained by God. And one of his attributes is he is a good God. Whether it's slavery, penitentiary, whatever it is, homelessness, God is a good God, and he's also a just God. So if you are in a, wherever you are, God ordained that. Didn't nobody else ordain that? Even us, my ancestors, when they went through slavery, God ordained that slavery. The children of the Israelites, how they wandered 40 years. They wandered 40 years because God ordained that. And why did God ordain that? Because of their hearts, their adulterousness. That's why God ordained that.
I'm not saying that I don't do wrong, but before I thought I could, everything is not our fault. We're not fooled.
No, I'm not saying everything is our fault.
Thank you.
You know, there are situations and circumstances that happen that's out of our control. But it is our responsibility to react in a godly manner, regardless of what happened. Now, oftentimes, When we get in that, and whatever that predicament is, there are things that God wants to show us. There are things that He wants to reveal to us. Because we may have responded to whatever that situation is in a way that's not honoring or pleasing to Him. See, you got to go low before you can move high. You have to understand that. That is why we have to be humble. We have to be humble because, you know, from the beginning, from birth, we are nothing but sinful pieces of rags. It's in us. It's in our very nature to fight against God.
So you're saying Jesus
wouldn't
have been crucified if he hadn't been walking around preaching, right?
Pardon me?
He wouldn't have been crucified if he hadn't been walking around preaching, right?
Yes, he would have been. Why would he? Why he would have been crucified? If he wouldn't have been preaching, he still would have been crucified because God said he was. God said he was. God said it was prophesied in the Old Testament hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before that he was going to be crucified and he was going to be the Savior of the world. So it doesn't matter if he spoke a mumbling word. It don't matter if you speak a mumbling word. God ordains everything, and He's a just God. He ordains it for a purpose or reason. Living a Christian life is all about sanctification. And what that is you're going to continue to have all these problems and trials and tribulations and stuff. Why? Because God is trying to shape and mold you into the Christian you're supposed to be, and into the image of His Son. That is why we struggle with the things that we struggle with.
Pardon me?
Who?
God.
Yes. Yes, it's ordained by Him. But you still have a responsibility as a child of God. That is, if you're in the faith, you have a responsibility to respond to that in a certain way. And oftentimes, that's where the disconnect comes. Because we don't respond how we're supposed to respond. We don't react how we're supposed to react. We don't look at our a lot of times, you know, folks look at their trials and they look at things as stumbling blocks. Instead of looking at it as a stumbling block, what is a stumbling block? Oh, because of what he did put me right here. So I'm stuck right here and it ain't my fault. Well, no, you can't look at it like that. You have to look at it as a stepping stone. Okay, God allowed this to happen. He allowed it to happen to Job. The devil himself went to Job and said, and where are you going? Oh, I'm the Romans 1 stone. Broke, you know, just trying to see who I can mess up. Have you considered my servant Job? Oh, you got a head around him. I can't touch it. What did God say? Go ahead. Do what you want to do to him. Do whatever you want to do to him, don't kill him. That's basically what he said. And the devil, he attacked his family, killed him off, his riches, took it all. Even his own wife, his friends, he didn't have no control over all of that stuff. But what was his response? What was his response to that? He kept the faith. He did not let that mess hit the way he feels. They did me wrong. I feel like they did me wrong. They hurt my feelings. It's their fault. He didn't let how he feels dictate his response or his action. And that's what we mess up at. We gotta learn to put our feelings in our pocket.
That's hard.
It's a very hard thing, but that's what we are called to do. There are things God called us to do. There are ways He wants us to act, regardless of how we feel. This ain't got to feel for Oprah. You know? You see that stuff happening. You know, you go to Dr. Phil, marriage counseling. That's what the marriage counseling stuff do. Now, you don't need marriage counseling, you need God counseling. But what do they say? An exact opposite of what God says. You go in there, they ask your wife, so, what happened? He did this, that, and the other, said this, that, and the other, this happened. Really?
How does that make you ill?
They make me ill. Okay. Well, Mr. So-and-so, what do you have to say to me? Well, she just stopped doing this, that, and the other, and she stopped being like this, doing this, that, and the other, I wouldn't do this, that, and the other. Really? So how does that make you feel? Well, we know from the beginning our feelings are not good. There's nothing, Paul said, nothing good dwells in my flesh. No good thing. It's all sin. That means our feelings is what? It's all sinful. So you go to a marriage counselor and they take one sinful feeling versus another sinful feeling and then give you another feeling that you're trying to change. It's all sin. So how is two sinners? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? It don't work like that.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead.
You said you're still in love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What if someone is walked up and slapped you? Do you think you'd get back?
I don't know. It is my hope and my prayer that I wouldn't. It's my hope and my prayer that I wouldn't. But I don't know if I'm that far, if I'm that far alone yet. But see, one thing I have to realize, and one thing you have to realize, if God thinks or believes that you're not ready for a particular incident or situation, He won't allow it to happen. So in my faith, if something happens like that, if God allows something like that to happen, God is saying, you have exactly what you need or not to respond in a certain way. Now, it's up to me whether I'm going to respond or not. He won't allow it to happen unless he believes that he has given me enough to respond the way I'm supposed to respond. But you got to remember, you're fighting against flesh and blood. And none of us are always in the spiritual realm. We're not always that way. It would be such a blessing if we can always walk in the spiritual realm. And what I mean is, praying and praising and being aware of the kingdom things, biblical things. We're not always in that state. So now, if you catch me and I'm not in that state, Lord help me, and Lord help you, I'm going to have to repent. And that's with anybody, and that's with anything. You know what I mean? You know, it's my prayer that one day I will be able to turn the other cheek. And if God presents that situation to me, that means I'm at the day where I have what I need to turn the other cheek. Now, whether or not I'm going to obey or disobey, that's up to me, and I'm going to have to answer that. You got to understand, folks, it's a difference between being saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Meaning, once you're saved, you're sealed. You got a spot. You're going to heaven. There's a difference in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Big difference. And we are to live as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what sanctification is all about. We want to be filled 24/7. We are sealed 24/7, but we want to be filled 24/7. If you are filled 24/7, then if somebody come and slap you, like Matthew says, you turn the other cheek, then you're able to do that. But the problem is, for most of us, we are not filled on the 24/7. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time that you gave us to dive into your word. Lord, although we did not finish what we started, we thank you that you gave us exactly what we need for the moment. We thank you, Lord, that the things that you have given us have spoken to our hearts, Lord. And I pray that you would let your word do its work and penetrate on us, Lord. Father, I ask that as we go out the rest of this week, we continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, help us to keep our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes open. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on the kingdom and not on our flesh. Father, help us to put our feelings in our pocket. Help us, Lord, to respond to adversity, trials, tribulations, heartaches, and pain as a Christian ought to respond. And Father, if there are any of us here that's not saved and do not know you, I ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you call them to yourself and you would save them out of this sin-sick world. Secure them a spot in the sheepfold, Lord. Please do these things, Father. Lord, you are the only one who can do them, and I trust and believe that you will. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Let every heart say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. No problem. So y'all, when I come back, I'm going to ask y'all where we stopped at in James. So, you know, it's my prayer that you have read before and read after so we can start again.